Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, Dan.
Hey there, Razzle.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Hey, first off, we have a really great episode today.
I say that we have a fantastic episode today.
It's great.
It's
great.
So good, in fact, that I remained silent through the entire episode.
Absolutely. And guess what, Dan? She's our guest here is promoting a new show she's got on True TV.
Oh yeah,
called 10 Things.
10 Things I Hate About Not Watching This Show.
Yep.
Go.
It's called 10 Things, and it's on True TV at Tuesdays at 10:30. And guess what? I'm on an episode. I should be on one of these.
Are
episodes.
You?
Yeah.
Who do you play?
Unless I play.
Are you? What number thing are you?
I'm number 2. It's a really
wait from Dr. Seuss.
I'm Dr. Seuss.
Is this a Dr. Seuss show?
It's a Dr. Seuss show. It's called 10 Things You Knew About Theodore Geisel.
Hello, sir, Dr. Geisel.
Number one is Dr. Seuss. His name was Theodore Geisel.
His actual name was T-Bone McGee-Bone.
T-Bone McGee-Bone.
AKA T-Bone Burnett.
It's a really great show. Really, really funny show. It's kind of like this podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Where it's a bunch of fun facts.
Hey, lady.
It's fun facts.
You're honing in our territory. No. The world is big enough where multiple fact-based endeavors can coexist peacefully.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love the show, and I hope it does really well because she's awesome, and the show's awesome, and I'm on an episode. I may or may not be on this week. I think I'm going to be on this Tuesday's episode. So tomorrow, if you watch it on True TV, 10:30 p.m., you might see me on there.
Listen, I was having such a good time while we recorded this that I forgot to ask because my eyes were shut because I was so excited. Was there someone else in the room apart from our guest?
Just Mike Capes.
Just Mike Capes. Old Mike Capes. Old Capesy boy.
Oh, Mike
Capes. He's a good egg, that Mike Capes. Yeah,
so there we go.
He's like my more talented stunt double.
Yeah, he's great. He's good. He's a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what else is great? We have a sponsor.
Guys, today's episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon.
Now,
Mack Weldon. Now, first of all, let me ask you something. What are you wearing right now?
Yeah, guys.
What are you wearing right now?
Hey, are you up?
Are they like destroyed jeans, like ratty t-shirts, old underwear that's just been sitting in the dungeon of your dresser, growing moldier by the day? First of all, get a new dresser.
New phone.
Second of all, new phone. Who dis? It's Mack Weldon calling to tell you that they have the clothes that you need. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. It's really easy. I was using their website earlier. I picked up some new underwear, some t-shirts. I think I have some socks on the way as well. It's awesome. If you want to like replenish your basics and you want to look good and feel good about what you wear, this is what you want.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Razzle.
I only wear fancy socks, and I purchased some fancy socks off of MackWeldon.com, and I am loving them and excited for them.
You should be, because you look great. I was going to say, you seem to have a fancier step than usual.
Hey, you know what?
It's really reflecting in how you carry yourself.
The things I purchased from Mack Weldon that I've worn, they're great. I love it. Like, I go hiking a lot, and I wear sweats, and I wear those, and I hike better.
And the nice thing is, as well, I'm glad you mentioned hiking. Yeah. All their products are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor, which for me, I don't have a sense of smell, but I'm terrified that other people will think that I smell, so I'd rather have my bases covered by someone like Mack Weldon and their clothing. And you know what? They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. They'll still refund you, no questions asked, so you know, get to try it and buy it without the worry of like, oh, what if this doesn't fit? And actually, they do have pretty handy sizing charts, so that helped out as well.
Oh, yeah. It was really great.
And so, guys, you know, not only is Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts, not only do they look good, they perform well, too. They're good for working out, going to work, going on dates, everyday life. Whatever you want to do, you can do it wearing Mack Weldon. So, guys, do us a favor. Go to MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. And get 20% off using the promo code TWL. That's 20% off your order using promo code TWL at MackWeldon.com.
It was so great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was great. And I'm glad Mack Weldon's sponsoring this show. And thank you for the clothes you sent me. And I really like it.
And guys,
do that. Everybody go to Mack Weldon right now and buy stuff.
Do us a solid. If you do that, it'll show cool folks like Mack Weldon that you know there's listeners out there. And then you'll look awesome as well. It's a win-win-win.
Yeah,
I don't know where that third win came from, but you'll find out.
Buy those socks. Those socks are great.
Yeah. But let's light this antimicrobial candle, shall we?
Absolutely.
So without further ado,
today we learn number 118.
I mean, 118.
When have we ever done 1-1?
I don't know. It's listen. I'm just in a comfortable daze. shall we? It's
yes,
two in a row.
We shall.
Anyway.
Today we learned number 118 with Jamie Lee.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Today We Learned. As usual, my name is Razzle. Dan is in Las Vegas right now for CES doing some really cool nerd stuff here. So we got our incomparable, if that's the right use of the word, guest host again, Mike Capes from the Hacks of Life here joining us. And we have a great guest. She's a very funny stand-up comedian. You've seen her on MTV's Girl Code, the Late Late Show recently with James Corden. You've seen her on At Midnight, and she has a new show out on True TV that airs on Tuesdays at 10:30 called 10 Things, which, believe it or not, I make a little guest appearance on an upcoming episode. Please, if you're not driving, please give a warm round of applause to Jamie Lee.
Hi. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Jamie,
yes.
As you know, because I told you literally 3 minutes ago.
You did.
And as our audience knows, we like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently.
Okay, a fun fact about me. I don't know if it's fun or just really tragic, but when I was growing up, my parents had this cat, Laszlo, who they had before I was born. So
okay.
When I was born, he just immediately hated me because I was like taking his place and the attention. And, but I thought he was like really cute and awesome because I was just like a little hopeful kid.
Yeah.
And so I would like pet him and he would hiss, but I thought that hissing was purring. So pretty much for like, I don't know, way too long, like 12 years of my life, I was like, this cat loves me. I was like, he cannot get enough. And then one day my mom like saw me petting him and he was like, and she was like, oh, like don't get near him. But it literally took her years to know
so
that
funny.
It had been going on. Like I really thought like that cat and I had a bond and then it's like, oh no, he like hates
me. Did you ever do bad stuff to it and it would purr?
No. I really couldn't even get that close to him, but I would touch him and then he would just kind of, you know, there's like the cat that hisses and runs away, like the cartoonish cat. I feel like cartoon cats do that where they're just like, and then they like scurry into the alley. This cat would still sit there and take it, but he would just like turn his head over his shoulder and be like, and then like continue sitting there.
Now what kind of cat was
it? Devious.
He was just like gray and fluffy.
Just a gray.
Yeah.
Just a gray
just
fluffy
a
cat.
Real gray fluffy
huge
cat.
Fan of gray fluffy cats.
With gold eyes. He had like really yellow eyes. yeah.
Evil eyes.
Yeah, evil eyes.
Now, I'm told you're from Texas.
R.I.P. Yes,
is this
I
when
am.
You had this cat in Texas?
I did, yes.
Where in Texas are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Dallas, Texas. Okay. Did you know, here's something about Texas I got here.
Mm.
I didn't know this, and it's kind of surprisingly, but Texas is the second most populous, and second, I knew it was obviously the second largest state
sure.
in the United States,
mm-hmm.
but it's the second most populous in the United States.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Texas has reported 27.5 million people in it, whereas
wow.
California has 39.
Mm. Do you know Gary from Texas?
Oh, yeah, Gary.
Yeah,
my uncle's
great.
Name's Gary,
he's
so it's
good.
Fun that you mentioned
no way.
That. Yeah.
That's who he's talking about. He's talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
Uncle
Gary.
I was making
Uncle
sure.
Gary.
I
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uncle Gary.
Oh, thank God.
I should have said Uncle Gary.
Yeah, he sends his best.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I saw him when I was out there.
Yeah, he misses you.
And then Florida is number 3 with 20 million. In New York, you spent some time in New York,
mm-hmm.
is number 4 with only 19 million, 19.7 million.
That's close.
Like,
yeah.
So
it's close.
Condensed.
Get on it, people.
It's
start
like 10 million less than Texas.
Come on, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what New
start
York needs. More people.
More people.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then
really,
the least
really lacking.
The least populous is Wyoming with like 600,000.
Like, I feel like there are 4 people there.
Wyoming, like
yeah.
if
Wyoming,
someone said there are 4, I'd be like, that's a lot. I thought it was less.
That makes
it's
sense.
All one family.
Yeah.
600,000, that's not that many people.
No.
In like a big
it's
state.
Not, no.
Mm-mm.
You like, could fill a stadium with that many people, right?
No. Yeah. You could fill like 10 stadiums.
It's
maybe.
Okay, fine. I don't know numbers.
10 arenas, 10 stadiums, maybe. 10 Dodger stadiums is Wyoming.
Hey,
this is like something we would talk about on my show.
Yeah.
Like literally, we had a fact like that where it was like, this, like the. you know, the amount of pizza. God, I don't want to misquote the fact because then I don't sound knowledgeable. Whatever. There was a thing of like how many pizzas are delivered every day in America, and if you multiplied them, it would go wrap around the earth a certain amount of times. Anyways, you get it.
I get
facts,
it.
People. Facts. Facts.
No, it's great because I was doing your show.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I'm doing it, and all of a sudden I'm listening. I'm like, this is my jam. This is right up. I get it.
You
completely.
Didn't. You didn't. Did we teach you something when you did the show?
I think so.
Good.
But what we talked about it a couple days ago on a couple episodes ago, but you had like Mall of America stuff.
Yeah.
You had a thing about the Mall of America being like Chinese or something
Canadian,
like that. Canadian.
But sure. Close.
And then, but we had a fact about Mall of America like that we talked about that on the show. They don't have a air conditioning or they have an air conditioning unit.
They never use it.
They don't have a heating. They don't have heat.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The Mall of America doesn't have a heating system.
It gets so hot.
It gets so hot just based off of the human beings in there and like the lights.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the lights from all the stores and just the tourists.
Have you ever been there?
No.
Mm-mm.
It's truly one of my favorite places
really?
On earth. I'm not even kidding. I went there and I was
to do the comedy club? There's like a comedy club there.
No, well, right? I did Acme Comedy Club, which is like more, I think, God, I hope I'm not misquoting. I think Acme Comedy Club. It's hilarious. Sits. No, Acme Comedy Club is in downtown, I believe. Okay. And then, yeah, Mall of America, you have to like take a train to get there. But yeah, it's just incredible. There's a theme park in the middle, like a full size theme park the middle of the mall. So you're just like in the food court, just like getting Panda Express and you're watching roller coasters. It's like crazy. I loved it.
Did you go on the roller coaster?
No, and I wish I had. I was actually supposed to go. Well, I was there by myself just to check it out. And then I was like texting with my friend who lives there, and she has kids, and she's like, oh my God, let's go there when we hang out in a few days.
Yeah.
And then we ended up having to change the plans because one of the kids got sick, which, you know, I still resent that child for. But it was, I was really hoping to like go and do it up properly.
Are you a fan of roller coasters?
Yeah, I am. I think I just like theme parks. Yeah. It's really like kind of sad probably, like the whole just like escapism thing. Yeah. Like you don't have to focus on your real life when you're here. Like that to me is, yeah, I like it for those reasons.
Do they have the traditional mall staples in Mall of America, like things remembered, weird stores like that? Do they have hot dog on a stick?
They have everything. So probably.
And it's all bigger, I'm imagining? Or?
I don't know if it's bigger, but there's just everything. Like they have, you know how like most malls, it's like they have the expensive wing and then like the cheaper wing? Mm-hmm. This has like 7 different tiers of prices. It's crazy. Yeah. Wow. So it's like Chanel, but also like
Walmart.
Yeah, right. Or like an off-brand Hot Topic that you've never heard of. Thing.
Okay.
They had one store I remember that had like I don't even think it was a piercing salon, but it just had piercing salon jewelry, like kooky navel rings and like ear cuffs and stuff. And I remember just being like, wow, they've got it all here. Wow. Like, yeah.
Like, there's like just to know that to rent those kiosks and to even rent like storefront properties, it costs a substantial amount of money.
Yes. Yeah.
Let alone to, it always blows my mind like going into malls or even just driving up and down Melrose, how you have these stores, these specialty stores. And it's like, how do they stay in business?
There's one on Melrose that's literally just leggings. It's just leggings. Which actually sounds kind of great. So wait, and I take it back.
Like, how many cell phone cases can you sell? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But do you ever get accosted in a mall? I just got accosted where the guy like was aggressively like, what's your name? Yeah. And I'm like, I made up a name. I'm like, Larry. And he's like, Larry, come here. I got some thing. And he was like really not letting me go. And I'm like, oh, I don't care about whatever this is. It was about shoes or something. It was about cleaning shoes.
That's why I just do like Raiders of the Lost Ark and I don't make eye contact.
Ever.
I keep my eyes shut.
Don't.
And I just keep walking.
You're like, I've run into a lot of walls, but don't have to talk to anybody.
I don't have to.
They always want
to
put lotion on you.
I've never signed up.
There's always someone with lotion. Like,
yes, or they want to do something to your hair.
Yeah.
Which is, the hair thing is super weird sometimes because I'm like, I feel like someone messing with your hair, that's not like a casual experience. Like lotion's like whatever, I'll put on some lotion, I'll feel the same. But like, I don't know, hairstyles, like that's like, I don't know, it's more of a commitment.
That is a commitment.
And they're just kind of like blasé about it. It's like, hey, can we just like curl your hair? I'm like, I don't know, I wasn't really like wanting to make that
like,
choice
in
today
in front of everyone.
Yeah. right Yeah.
Hey Jimmy, your hair looks nice today, where'd you get it done? The kiosk
right next to cell phone
Topanga
cases
Plaza.
Right across from belts made out of bottle caps.
That's another thing, yeah, like those things.
There was a belt made out of bottle caps. There was a kiosk. It was like, remember, I feel like kiosks weren't as popular as they are now. I don't know if you felt that way, but growing up, I remember when my mall first got like a few kiosks.
Yeah, sure.
And one of them was just clothing made out of like bottle caps, like purses, belts, chokers, just like everything you could ever want. And I just remember being like, what is happening? Like, why is this here?
Or like purses made out of bent license plates.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
And then it was.
That's such a perfect visual.
The kiosks I remember when they first became a thing are those like belt buckles, like seatbelt bottle caps.
Yes, same kiosk. Seatbelt buckle belts. Yes,
I remember
license
that.
Plate purses.
Safety first.
And remember those magic eye posters.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Where you look.
People
past
would
something.
Congest the aisles of malls just to try and find the. As you know, Mallrats, the schooner.
Yeah,
schooner. For hours.
When you saw the sailboat.
Yeah.
Wait, Mallrats makes me so happy.
Oh,
it's maybe one of my favorite movies. Still, I know. Yeah. I saw that. I can't wait.
That's gonna be cool.
God, that movie is so perfect.
That's I
want to like watch it right now.
That's probably my favorite.
Let's put it on.
But I gotta go.
Mallrats.
Yeah.
I love the smell of commerce in the morning. I really feel that. When I go into a mall, that sums up my experience.
He's just got that little folding cup that he just keeps getting soda.
Yes. Oh, all of it. Stink palm. Man. Yeah.
And then they go to that shitty
chocolate covered pretzels.
They go to that that flea market, that shitty mall down there down the street.
That was the antique mall.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good movie. There.
Claire Forlani was the first "you look like the celebrity" person in my life.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Like the biggest compliment. I was like whatever about her looks, but I was just like, oh my God, she's in Mallrats. Like, yes, I'll take it. I love that.
The Jaws ride. I was going to propose to her at the Jaws ride.
So good.
God, I haven't seen that in a minute.
Yo-yos were a big kiosk thing.
Yeah.
Huge.
Like ones that flicker.
Oh, and then they had the
sticks. Ones that had, like, do a light show.
Remember those sticks? Why are we doing this?
I know.
The sticks with the tennis ball that guys would flip around. And,
yeah.
And, that was ridiculous. And
then, you know what else is another weird mall trope? You know how at every toy store, maybe not every toy store, a lot of toy stores, they have that table outside that has like the barking dog on it that's just like meep, 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 like making the noises.
Did it flip or something?
And it flips, and I feel like no one bought one. Like it never worked, and I feel like it still exists too.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
And why does
in
he have
mall.
His own table? Like, I don't understand how that's going to be a selling point for the toy store. Like, oh, well, they've got those. We better go in.
It's like KB Toys.
Yeah.
It was KB Toys. That doesn't exist anymore,
probably
is it?
Not
I think it does.
Is there a KB?
I feel like
there might be. There has to be.
Yeah, I feel like there might be.
Somewhere.
And there's just like, one. It was like, yeah,
it's
it was
like a
round table. Because like, that dog can flip, you know?
The dog can flip, yeah. Well, so they have to. He has to have the edges on the table to keep him contained.
That's right.
Because he's pretty out of control.
Yeah. I just was at the mall, and this guy had a kiosk, but the toys were just running around. I remember he had a dinosaur that was walking, and I actually brought it back to him. Like, hey, man, you let this thing go. And yeah, so he was just, they were just wild.
Just like a low-rent Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was just terrible. Yeah. It was so terrible.
Oh, my God.
Because like a lot of those kiosks are like independently ran.
They are?
So like I think so. Like I would, I think
they rent that space.
I think you rent the space.
I see.
And like I would have to buy the thing.
You put your garbage in it, and then you see if anybody wants your garbage.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's like, I feel like there's a bunch of like weird like kind of niche ones, and then they have just straight up like Proactive in a kiosk, and you're like, why would anyone?
There's always a picture of Adam Levine on the side of one kiosk.
Who you look like, by the way?
I get that all the time.
I mean, it's pretty uncanny.
My friends call me Fat Adam Levine because I'm fatter than he is.
You don't look fat, okay. Well, but he's probably like crazy lean, like in an
he's
annoying
super
way.
Skinny,
I get that. I get that. Oh, I forgot that he's the Proactive spokesperson. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah. He's always on the posters. People draw things on those posters.
Yeah.
Is that like that?
He's a real hero. Real hero in the acne community.
Yeah.
Proactive. I gotta see. I'm trying to. Oh yeah, it's that green. It's like the green type of bottle.
I had such bad skin growing up, and I really wanted to believe in those infomercials, and I ordered it, and it did not work.
Oh really?
I hate to unendorse them, but yeah, I was like, man,
you hear that,
I
Proactive?
Thought it was going to be the solution, and it just wasn't. Yeah, it was Proactive.
Mike, I know, Mike, you drink. Do you drink alcohol? Are you a consumer of
I mean,
of the...
I'm pretty, like, lazy about it, but yeah, okay. I'll
indulge. You just made it sound like I drink a lot, though. Let's just say,
well,
Mike, I know you drink. Yeah, I drink.
I've been around you on the weekends.
Yeah, you're, okay, all right.
I mean, this is slightly dated, but it's 4 years ago. Russia, apparently, this was interesting to me, they didn't consider beer to be an alcoholic beverage until 2011.
Hmm.
Before then, it was classified as a soft drink, according to an article from the BBC.com. Russia President Dmitry Medved recently signed a bill in 2011 that officially classifies beer as alcoholic because everything underneath 7% alcohol wasn't considered alcoholic.
Whoa.
I feel like I'm less worried about the alcohol in it and more about the taste. Like, can you imagine buying a soda and it tastes like
so
beer?
I'd be so bummed.
Yeah, you'd be grossed out. Like, that wouldn't be a hit in
the soda
that's
such
section.
A good point. Yeah, I feel like sodas, you do it for the taste, and then you'd be like, oh, this is like... Yeah.
And anyone's thinking, you're already going off of root beer because it's the most popular soda, so you're going to think, beer!
Which they have alcoholic root beer now.
Wait, I'm sorry, did I miss that? Root beer is the most popular soda?
No.
Did I say
it
that?
Could be.
Oh.
Yeah, he's adding facts here, but now that's curious.
Well, you know, it's one of the... more popular.
The top five drinks from 2010 were
maybe in my small circle of people that I
know. No, maybe it is.
Root beer is pretty popular.
Most popular soda.
Yeah, what's the most popular? Coke?
I mean, Coke would I
because it's just
like,
ingrained in
the
us.
Brand,
we can't get,
Top five soft drinks, caffeine. These are brands, though.
Mm.
It's all brands, yeah.
It's all brands.
It's like Band-Aid.
Yeah, or Kleenex.
Yeah.
I used to... when CeCe's Pizza opened in Dallas, Texas, I just loved the like refill situation there. And I would just mix all of the sodas, like what do you call it? Like a kamikaze or suicide or whatever. Yeah. So I would do that. And I would always do like a shot of root beer just because it was up there. And then I was like, oh no, why do I keep doing this? Like, I don't like the taste at all.
You don't like root beer at all?
I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, you don't like root beer? Okay.
No, I don't like it.
Do you like Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Pepper's fantastic.
Love Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Okay, similar vein, too.
Similar vein. Because I love
strange
both of them.
That, it's strange that I'm not into both.
But Dr. Pepper's made of prune juice, right?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's true, yeah. Look that up. I'm pretty positive.
I think it is.
I'm pretty
don't
positive.
Tell children
I'm
that.
There's something
they'll never want to have it again.
There's something
it's
to do with
literally
prune.
Like, I'm it's not, made of prune juice and Brussels sprouts, and they're like, yuck! Mom!
Is there any truth to that?
I don't know. Yahoo Answers. Is Dr. Pepper made out of prune juice?
Is there something to do with prune?
Sounds like an old wives' tale.
Dr. Pepper contains no fruit juice, but prune is one of the many flavors that is used to create the flavor of Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
And there's also like 27 flavors used to create.
Right.
Okay, but there's prunes in it. There's a prune flavoring? Okay.
But it's probably just like made out of corn.
All right. That's really interesting.
I'm glad we
though.
Cleared that up because somebody told me that a while ago.
Because Dr. Pepper and root beer
similar.
Are very similar.
Yeah, and I really loved RC Cola. No,
RC?
I guess RC is not. That's definitely more Coke tasting, right?
Yeah. Like a cola.
Yeah, I loved
Royal
RC.
Crown.
What are your thoughts on 7-Up?
Versus Sprite or
versus
just
Sprite
in,
or
Jens?
In general?
I like 7-Up a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big... I just... Anytime I'm craving something sweet, I'm just like... If I have like a sip of Sprite...
Yeah.
I'm just like an anorexic model. I'm like, I'm good.
I didn't think it was Sprite.
Craving fulfilled.
Can I get some Sprite, please?
Yeah.
7-Up. Here's some fun. I got some.
I also like 7-Up because I just like that the Dot wore sunglasses.
Yes.
Oh,
and
it
was originally a cherry, and then they branded it into a spot.
He was the original sunglass emoji, I think.
That's a good call. He was.
Right?
I think
the Japanese sunglass emoji.
I think so.
Yeah, he was the inspiration.
That's funny. Spot. He was. They had him. Didn't he have a cartoon for a while? Like he had his own show. I think.
I mean, I wonder what he's doing now.
you know what?
It's like just a lot of pilots mostly. Nothing's gotten picked up.
Yeah, it's kind of bumming it now. you know, we were just talking about this last night. I was talking with some friends about connotations in text. Speaking of emojis and. Apparently, when a girl, and you can help out with this because my girlfriends last night were telling me that when a girl gets a text K, just the letter K, it's offensive.
It is.
Okay, what? Okay.
That doesn't offend you?
Well, because I'm used to guys just being like, hey, dude, you want to go to the thing? They're like, I'm going to be at the park at 12. They're like, K. Like, you know what I mean? It's always just like, okay, we're done. Like, guys want to get out in and out of these texts.
Right, right, right.
Apparently, that's offensive to girls. There's a lot of connotation to it.
Yeah, it just reads. I mean, I've sent them before, and I always, afterwards, I go, oh, I just sent a K, and then I'll send a separate exclamation point just so they know that it's like happy
that's
K, not
happy,
like fuck you K.
And then apparently there's a difference between a K and then K with a little lowercase K next to it. If you go KK.
KK is sweet.
KK is sweeter.
KK's sweet. Yeah.
That's interesting. Huh. And KKK gets really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too many K's.
Too far.
Too many K's. Yeah.
But that's so interesting. I didn't know that that was like a blow off or like a passive aggressive sort
of
thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's. I think if it all. Yeah, it also. It just speaks to insecurity. I guess it is weird that I've like felt offended by it. But yeah, it always just feels very like dismissive.
Right. Okay.
But that's like so. It's so sad to admit that because it's like, why should a text like affect your mood? Like, why should receiving a text impact your mood or right. make you question a friendship or a relationship? Like, that's just like a sad reality.
I feel like thumbs up is feels negative to me when somebody's like thumbs up.
Yeah,
it's like,
a little. Eh. And I'll send it, and I'll do two.
Right.
Where it's like cool, but sure. I feel like one is a little.
One just feels like you're
being.
A little,
it is. You're
like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
It has that feel to it.
See, I'd do more thumbs up if there was like a left and a right thumbs up.
Right. That's why I do two. I'll do two. I'll be like, cool.
Just one.
Because it's kind of like 90s, like, cool, dude. Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the
radical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the meme where they replace the guns with thumbs up. And there's like, the one that I always think of is Rambo. And he's always like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's the other kind of bitchy?
So K's and thumbs.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the straight face when it's just a face with a line mouth where it's just like, Like, I guess that's meant to be kind of shitty.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that's more right.
I guess that's made for that. You wouldn't send that any other way to be like, no.
The ultimate text that you can send is the Bitmoji. That to me feels very special. Have you received a Bitmoji?
I've gotten one or two of them.
It's really exciting because it's like their face and they're like wearing a fun little outfit and they're just like, they're like, have a great day. And you're just like, okay. Thanks.
Okay. We want to talk about offensive. How about, because I have gotten a couple Bitmojis, right? And you think, I'm like, oh, these were like 10 minutes of effort for me.
Right.
It's
a separate keyboard.
It means
a lot.
And then they pop up on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about offending? Hey, don't send me a bit emoji.
This isn't personal.
This isn't a personal thing if you're going to share it with the world.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Right. That's true. Well, we just ruined that.
Jamie, so you were born in Dallas, Texas.
I was.
Raised in Dallas, Texas?
Yes.
And then you moved to New York.
Then I moved to Austin. Well, yeah, I was living in Dallas. Then I moved to Austin for college. I went to UT in Austin. And then I moved to New York right after I graduated.
And what did you go to school for?
For radio, TV, film. That was my major. But I kind of pursued like writing and animation, strangely. Like, I don't know. I was very like not. I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you graduated, and then you moved to New York to work.
I had a job.
What you went to school with?
I worked at. Well, I got a job working in comedy PR.
Okay.
So that's kind of how everything started. I knew I just liked writing, and I just liked kind of like entertainment generally. And then I always liked comedy. I think growing up in Texas, there were no real examples of like, this is a path that you can pursue and you're not crazy for thinking you can. And then I there just wasn't anyone doing what I wanted to do or any example set for me. So when I moved to New York and I was working in comedy, then I just started watching comedy and I had to like go see comedy for my job. So I kind of just was like, oh, people are like doing this like for a living.
Yeah.
So that's when I started trying it.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when I started.
You fell in love with comedy and...
Yeah. That's I always liked it a lot. And I definitely liked stand up a lot when I was a kid. And I also, I mean, I don't have those stories of like every night I, you know, my parents would say, Jamie, go to bed. But I was like, no, I got to watch
Sneak
the Tonight
downstairs.
Show. Like, never had that. I never cared about late night shows.
There seems to be a lot of those stories where it's like,
I didn't even know who David Letterman was until I was like much older.
Yeah.
I always feel guilty like when I have those conversations with people because I'm like, that was not my experience at all. I just like enjoyed Wayne's World and like funny movies. Like I thought Chris Farley was great. I didn't have like a really eccentric comedy palette when I was, 12 or whatever. But then when I moved to New York, I finally was like, oh, I really like stand-up. Because I was like, oh, it's writing and performing, which I like both. So I guess that's kind of like the answer to all my problems.
Yeah. Did you do any like plays in high school or in grade school?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did plays. I started in a school play senior year of high school. And then I started out as a theater major in college until my grandmother told me that I was stupid for doing that.
What?
So I switched. Yeah, I literally switched majors because she made me feel bad.
Is she still alive?
She is not. So
Fuck
you. No. No, but yeah, she was like really fatalistic about it. And then, oh God, I don't want to tell like a sad story, but
Hey, that's fine.
What?
I'm sad inside.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, but well, she came around on it. Yeah. Like, well, finally, good. She was like, kind of, yeah, she got it, but it took her a long time because there's just, I don't know. I get it though. I don't blame her for thinking it was weird. Like looking back, I'm like, yeah, it is kind of weird to like go to school for theater.
I mean, in the end, it is because, like, I mean, especially coming from her era of the vaudevillian, almost being like dropouts and you know, like panhandler type of thing. So it wasn't a real. Like, the real successful vaudevillians were always still even looked down upon.
Yes.
Even in the entertainment industry.
No, it was like circus freaks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, I even feel that still just in general. I'm like, well, I don't know. I always feel – I have, like, this, like, you know, pangs of just, like, what am I doing? Like, is this important? I don't know.
Well, even when you look at, like, even, like, award season, it's like even, like, the comics and the comedians tend to not even get nominated for things.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Whereas – but
still separate categories.
It's a separate category. But then there was a heyday where there was, like, some Like It Hot would get nominated and things like that. And then out of nowhere, it's like a light switch flipped and everybody's like, no, fuck comedy.
Yeah.
He's like,
if you're not crying, we don't care.
Although the greatest comedic performance this year was Matt Damon in The Martian, clearly.
I liked that movie.
He got nominated. Well, it was a great movie, he got nominated as Best Actor in a comedy.
Well, that's Golden Globe, probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it was kind of weird because
Hollywood Foreign Press is so bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they are separate. It's like kind of. Yeah.
I wish that Bridget Jones had won whenever she was nominated that year. I thought that was like an amazing movie, and she's so funny in that.
Aren't they making another one of those?
They are, yeah.
She's got another chance.
Yeah.
Another shot.
Bridget Jones Redemption. And then the third one. Right?
Bridget Jones
and the Temple of Doom. Pretty sure that was it.
Yeah, that's it.
Hugh Grant. I like Hugh Grant. He was in that, right?
Yeah.
Hugh Grant's great.
That movie's great.
He needs to be in more things.
He does. He's so funny.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
About a Boy is so good.
Great movie.
He's great. I was just talking about my second favorite romantic comedy is Notting Hill, I think.
Oh, yeah. Guys love Notting Hill.
It's a great, yeah.
Yeah, they love
so
it.
Great.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah. Number one's Overboard.
What? When Harry Met Sally, dude.
I'm sorry. It's in my top three, but Overboard, Kurt Russell, and Goldie Hawn is just too good for me.
What about you? Your romantic rom-coms.
My favorite. Oh, that's really hard.
Right? Because they're so good. Like, I have no qualms about announcing that. I've seen
them all. Absolutely.
I watched them all. I can't not watch them.
I mean, when Harry Met Sally might be my favorite. It's just, it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might be my favorite.
So good. You've got
it's
mail.
My top three.
I don't. That one I never did it for me.
I didn't jump in that.
You know what else didn't do it for me? Sleepless in Seattle didn't do it for me. No.
What about
I didn't do that.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Great.
So good.
Oh, so good. She's so funny.
She's so great.
Yeah, I love her.
What about What Women Want?
No.
No?
That was Mel Gibson
and Helen Hunt.
That could have been better.
I never liked that one. 2 Weeks Notice is very good.
Okay, that's
good. Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock is such a good comedy actress.
The Proposal? Yeah. What about The Proposal with
her and Ryan Reynolds? Oh, I didn't see that one.
That one was okay.
I didn't see that one. Okay.
It wasn't great.
What's another one?
Just Like
Heaven is very good.
Okay. There's another McConaughey.
Is that a romantic comedy? I don't know.
Wasn't Nick Cage in a big one?
Moonstruck.
That's not a romantic comedy. He was in something about a lottery ticket, a cop and a lottery ticket.
Yes, right?
My mom liked that one. I just don't remember what it was.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a romantic comedy. It's definitely a romantic movie. I really like About Time. Did you see that?
That's new one, right?
Yeah, it's great.
I haven't seen
that. It's really great.
It's like time travel.
Yeah, it's the guy from Star Wars. I forget his name. I always forget his name.
Domhnall Gleeson, right?
Yes, that's him. And he's like really great in that.
Yeah,
it's him
awesome.
And Rachel McAdams. It's really great.
Oh, yeah, I got to see that.
Yeah, it's really good.
And it's got, again, to tie it back into Hugh Grant, because it's Love Actually. Hugh Grant was in Love Actually, right? It's got the guy from, what's the dude? The old dude. Bill Nighy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in About Time. I need to watch this.
He's really funny in it, too.
It's About Time. It's like where the dude, the family, like has a lineage of time travel.
Oh, okay.
And he can time travel.
So it's got a sci-fi element? That's cool.
Yeah. Got a sci-fi element. It's really great.
There was something with Keanu Reeves once, and maybe Sandra Bullock, about like a time travel thing where he would send her letters and then from the future.
The Lake House?
The Lake House.
Is that it?
I think
so. Yeah, I think I saw that one.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
You know what's funny? For a while, do you know John Candy was like the star of a lot of romantic comedies?
Yeah, he was in Only the Lonely.
I swear to God, yeah.
Only the Lonely, what is that?
There's a few.
I don't really remember. I think I was like...
It was just interesting that he's such a big... It's like
Only the Lonely.
Such a big guy, such a big actor as the lead. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Maureen O'Hara, Ally Sheedy, John Candy. A Chicago cop must balance loyalty to his overbearing mother and a relationship with a shy funeral home worker.
That sounds awesome.
Not funny or sweet. I watched Splash recently on an airplane. Yeah. That movie is the most twisted premise. Yeah, like I watched it again in like, you know, our more like modern feminist time that we're in, I feel like. And I was just like, this movie would never fly today. Like she doesn't speak. She literally doesn't speak for the first half of the movie, and he's like, I'm in love with her just because she's like naked and like she, for some reason she like can't speak English, and like she fully understands the concept of love, like making love and like making out. It's just like very twisted, and I don't understand. But then it's also like Tom Hanks, so you're like, oh, this is cute. Like this is so heartwarming.
Like his business partner is John Candy, right?
Yeah. It's just like a really weird premise.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen that movie in ages. How does he even like find her? Because he like there's like scenes where she's just kind of like in his bathtub.
Well,
right?
When he's a kid, he falls off a boat and he goes underwater and he sees her as a kid.
Oh,
and
she's
a young
a
mermaid, so they already had a connection.
I forget how they reconnect.
Yeah, I think he actually he's almost suicidal. I think at one point. And I think he goes in the ocean, and then she saves him.
There are a lot of movies based on like where the MacGuffin in the plot is a suicide.
Is that wrong?
I'm gonna read it. Well, I think that
He's not suicidal. I know he's. I forget.
Oh yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Or he fell and he can't swim.
Yeah, because she saves him.
And she saves him.
Yeah. But he's older now, and there was that connection of him as
right.
a kid. And then John Candy's character as a kid was just looking up girls' dresses or something.
Probably.
Or women's dresses. Yeah. He was like the pervy friend.
Of course.
I'm going to see.
Yeah, I'm so curious now because I think he's depressed and suicidal or he's thinking about it, but then he falls in and then she saves him. And then she saves him. You know what
it's
I mean?
Daryl Hannah.
She
right?
saves him in more
Daryl
than one.
Hannah.
Daryl Hannah, yeah.
Yeah. Got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's good.
92, I believe it. Ron Howard, right? Or Brian
Grazer? Ron Howard, yep.
As we search for this, Overboard was another twisted story, too, though.
It was it was a guy pretending to be, right?
Yeah, she had amnesia, and he pretended to be her husband and made her do all his housework.
That would never, if you want to talk about a movie that wouldn't fly in today's feminist culture.
I have never seen that.
No. Oh, it's really good,
I know,
though.
I need to see it.
It really is. It's super funny.
That would never fly.
Yeah. But Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn had such a cool chemistry, like...
Pretending to be an amnesia woman's husband.
She has amnesia. He finds her. She owed him money because he was a carpenter on. She was super rich and he was super poor and he was like a carpenter. And then he basically, his plan is, I'm going to take her. She doesn't remember anything. I'm going to pretend like this is her family. I'm going to Photoshop. He made photos, like family photos of her to put his wedding photos. And the best part is he only has her photo from her like... it's not a mugshot, but when they found her.
Yeah.
She just looks miserable in every photo, which is hilarious. And he makes her do a bunch of house chores until he feels like he's paid back, but then he falls in love with her. And then it turns out that her real husband's a piece of shit.
Okay, guys, wait. This is so... I feel like they're leaving out a plot point in this description. Okay, so it says, years later... So he fell into the sea when he was a kid, Tom Hanks did. Then it says, years later... Alan is a co-owner of a wholesale fruit and vegetable business in New York City with his womanizing older brother, Freddie. So it's his brother,
okay,
John
his
Candy.
Brother. Okay.
John Candy, yeah. Depressed after his latest breakup, Alan returns to Cape Cod where he encounters eccentric scientist Dr. Walter Kornbluth, played by Eugene Levy, and again falls into the sea. But they don't explain why. He just has a really bad track record falling into the sea.
I'm pretty sure it was a suicide.
Not even a specific ocean, just the sea.
The sea.
You know, it did mention depressed. It did mention depressed.
It did.
I think they're so trying funny. To evade the fact that he was suicidal. I'm pretty sure he was suicidal and he
fell. It's almost like, yeah, it's almost like a...
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
It's like, oh, my wrist just fell onto these razor blades. It's like, what?
It's like my five-year-old nephew telling the story. And then he goes to see a scientist.
Yeah.
And then he falls into the sea.
Yeah. I mean...
Again.
Wow.
That's funny. Yeah, they probably wouldn't write that again.
That's funny. Here's a completely different thing here.
Sure.
Here's a complete 180. Babies are born without kneecaps.
Oh.
They don't properly form until the child reaches 3 to 5 years of age.
Wait, that's so late.
Isn't that wild?
That is late.
5 years old and you don't have kneecaps?
Well, you're 3 to 5. Because there's so much crawling you do in that time. You think that you'd have those. Is that what develops them?
Is that why they're like fine crawling? Because they're just like, this is squishy.
The squishiest part of my body.
Get it in while you can, kid. Yeah. Later on, so they're hard as rocks.
That's got to be because I can't sit on my knees for longer than...
No. Oh, it's agony.
10 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe it's... Yeah. Maybe that's why we develop them. Is that why? Like our body...
Yeah, what if our kneecaps aren't even kneecaps? They're just like really bad calluses. They're just like leg heels.
Something.
leg heels.
Front leg heels.
Leg bunions.
Thousands and thousands of years of evolution, and it's just a scab.
Just front.
Yeah, it's just real scabbed up. Yeah.
Just a bunion.
I've got a misplaced scab on the front of my leg here.
That's so interesting. What made you figure that fact out?
Reddit. It was on Reddit.
Oh, it was on Reddit?
For some interesting facts.
Mm.
Are you wearing a mustard plug hat?
I am.
I saw them when I was in high school.
Yeah, so good, right?
I really liked them. I haven't listened to them in a long time.
They're good.
Yeah, I was very into them.
They're from...
Are they a Lookout Records band?
That's a good question.
Let's look it up.
Lookout. So you were into ska?
Yeah. Well, first I was into punk, then I was into ska, and then I feel like then I went into my indie rock phase.
Okay.
Later on.
Let's see here. That'd be 90 to 90, 93, golden years. Lookout had Green Day, Screeching Weasel, Mr. T Experience.
Okay, so they didn't have Mustard Plug.
No, they didn't. But they did have... did they have Suicide Machines? No. No. Alkaline Trio and all those. Big
oh. Show.
The Cost, The Criminals.
Mm.
The Donnas. Remember The Donnas?
Oh, yeah. Those girls were like in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they built movies around them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mustard Plug was great. They were from... I'm from Michigan, and they were from Grand Rapids, I believe.
Oh.
Grand Rapids area.
Oh, that's cool. And, I've been to Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's a great
little town. I like that, yeah. And, they have a cool comedy festival there.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Uh-huh. It's really good.
Here's something. El Chapo. Do you guys know about this El Chapo guy?
I wish I knew more.
I don't know anything about him.
No, yeah. What is it?
I just see a lot of images.
Some drug kingpin got caught, apparently.
El Chapo.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just a thing here.
Is this picture floating around... the internet or something?
I was hoping you guys could tell me about El Chapo.
Is that what Narcos is based on?
No. Well, wait. Unless it's another nickname for Escobar.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's so. Right. God. I sound so racist.
Drugs,
I'm like, no. I get them mixed up.
Have you watched Making a Murderer? Are you into that?
I just asked that. Oh, God.
You watched it.
Can I tell you, I haven't seen the last two episodes, so I don't know the Dassey stuff.
Okay. I'm going to have you guys tell me on the show.
Me.
I'm going to have you sell me on the show because I haven't watched an episode.
Oh, you haven't watched it.
You haven't watched one episode.
No, but you two have. So sell me on why. Because everybody I talk to or see, everybody tweets upsettedness about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to get upset about it.
It's infuriating.
It is infuriating. It's really hard to watch because it just feels like there's just so much injustice.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, now, this isn't spoiling anything, but now, of course, there's all the stuff coming out where they're like...
Stuff that they left out.
Yeah, stuff that they left out. Like, maybe the outcome actually was... I don't want to say anything. This is hard. I don't want to spoil it for you. It's really intense. I probably won't watch it, so spoil it. You really should. Did you not get into like those... Like, did you not watch The Jinx or...
I didn't.
You didn't?
Really?
I didn't. I mean, I like all those things, but once so many people
start
talking about it...
Maybe you're just a murder guy.
Yeah. You just like light stuff.
Yeah, maybe you're not a murder... I'm a real big murder person.
See, it's more because people... like everybody talked about it, and then everybody's like, you got to watch it, and then the Jinx, I literally was planning a day to watch it, then that is the day that he ended up getting caught and getting arrested, so it's just like, spoiler alert.
Well, you should still watch it, because it's amazing.
This one will be unanswered for a minute, and yeah, you should watch the
Jinx. You should watch this one. Oh, can I be honest? The Jinx... Everyone's like, oh my God, that's literally like the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The outcome for the Jinx is so, the last episode's so unbelievable that they actually captured it on camera.
Amazing.
That almost makes the whole series amazing. I was not as hooked on the Jinx as I was watching it as other people were. Like, my parents were like, it's riveting. And it was good. Yeah. It's really good. But it didn't hook me in the way that last episode did. Whereas Making a Murderer, it's just, you can't, I feel like you really just like need to keep watching it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much information you need. Also, The Staircase is really great. If you want, like, I think that's actually still the best one of these.
The Staircase?
Staircase is phenomenal.
Is this on Netflix also?
Have you never seen that?
No.
Okay. No. So I personally, so I think The Staircase is how all this started. I think it's like what spawned Serial with the Adnan case. I think it's like, it was the first one.
And this is old. This is from 2004?
It is from 2004. And it's, although they made other episodes later on. So basically Sundance Channel acquired The Staircase.
Okay.
And then once it was airing on Sundance, I'm sure someone's going to be like, she's not right. It's, you know, someone will write in and tell me I'm wrong. But I think from how it was, from my perspective, it aired on Sundance, and then Sundance ended up releasing two other later episodes that were added on.
Okay.
So the documentary was completed, and then they ended up kind of revisiting it. But, it's amazing because the story is just that this really wealthy guy in, I believe, North Carolina, he is a fiction writer, like a successful one. And he had this mansion in North Carolina, and he lived there with his wife, and he is accused of pushing her down the stairs, and she died. So the whole thing is just like, did she fall down the stairs, or did he murder her on the stairs? And literally the entire series, you're just like, did he or didn't he? Did he or did? Like, it keeps you on your toes to a point where you're like, I don't, it's like, it's more to me, Making a Murder, I think it's pretty clear how everyone feels about like the outcome. I think with this one, it's like, I think everyone's like, he did it, he didn't do it, he did it, he didn't do it.
So wild.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. And like in Making a Murder, the defense attorneys are so awesome. They're unbelievable to watch. They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like, they're just like badasses.
Your
like, it makes you want to be a lawyer. You're just like, oh,
my God,
they're so good.
Yeah.
They're not even hot, but they're hot because they're so good.
Yeah.
And I think it's similar in The Staircase. You're just, it is told from the perspective of the defense. And I think that you just are like so impressed by them. I can't endorse it enough. I think you can speed through Staircase even faster than you can speed through Making a Murder.
How many episodes there's?
I believe now there's maybe 11. Originally, I think there were
all
nine.
About the same thing? 11,
yeah,
they
the
just
same
keep
case.
All about that Staircase.
Same case, yeah.
Wow.
Is the guy, did they end up, I mean, it came out 2004. Did they catch the guys in prison or not in prison?
Honestly, I don't know now.
The Staircase.
So I would just watch it. It's really phenomenal. It's like by these like French documentarians.
Yeah, it's made by Jean-Xavier de Lestrade.
But it's not a, it's funny because I think people see that and they're like, is this going to have subtitles? It's like, French, no, it's straight up American.
About author Michael Peterson.
Yes.
For the murder of his wife,
this
Kathleen, whose body was discovered lying in a pool of blood on the stairway of their home.
Mm-hmm.
Granted unusual access to Peterson's lawyers, home, and immediate family, De Lestrade's cameras captured the defense team as it considers its tragic.
So basically this, I mean, that is, I feel like that is what spawned all of these things. Serial is very similar. Yeah, Making a Murder is from the point of the defense. Like, it's just interesting. I don't know what it is. The point of the defense is always an interesting perspective.
Sure.
It's fascinating what they have to do to get a murderer off. Like, it's just amazing.
And
Hand jobs. Sorry, I'm a child.
That's how it ends. Actually. Spoiler alert.
Making a Murder is Robin Tuggs.
Eight episodes.
It's so good.
But it's over-the-pants hand jobs.
You can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Did you binge watch when you saw it? Episode one, were you able to just keep going?
Yes.
Making a Murder?
Making a Murder dominated my entire holiday.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean, we literally were like, we didn't want to make plans because we just wanted to keep watching it.
Yeah, so be prepared for that. Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Now, were you a Serial fan also?
Yes.
There's something interesting how...
Did you listen to Serial?
I did.
You just don't like murder.
He doesn't.
It's very sweet.
No, I mean, I do, but I feel like there is a piece of me that is the hipster where it's like if everybody's just like raving about something,
right.
It's hard to get into it because everybody's raving about it, sure. Especially if I'm not caught up.
You saw Star Wars.
I know what you mean.
Because like if it's been 8 weeks, then I got to go through and there's hype too.
Sure.
Like I don't like I've had things like that been ruined for me because there's so much hype.
Right. Now's a really good time for you to listen to the Serial because they've already started on the next one.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's died down a little bit.
Are you on the new season? Have you listened to the new Serial?
My mom just texted me about that. I haven't listened. I listened the first episode, but
somebody said it's not a true crime thing though this season.
It's a crime, but it's not murder.
It's not like from defense or...
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody just posted that.
Yeah, it's not murder. It is it's a case. It is another case of someone... Right. Yeah.
Nobody died, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like it. I like it real gruesome.
I want some stairways and some pools of blood in the description.
I am so disturbed. There was a documentary about one of my... I hate to say my favorite murder cases, because that's so awful, but...
You're going to say the Longhorn or the unicorn killer? Ira Einhorn.
What?
Do you know about the Einhorn
murders? No, what is that?
Ira Einhorn.
Finkel
that sounds
Einhorn?
So cute.
Ira Einhorn was like a mass murderer back in the day in the 70s. They had like a mini series about him. And he like went hiding overseas and they couldn't catch him for the longest time. And what he did is like he would murder people and he would like chop them up and put them in like luggages. And he would just like... People would go missing, and then he was like a hunky dory, like hippy dippy guy.
Oh my god!
And he got away with like murder. Then I think he ended up getting caught finally. But,
okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's this. I mean, it's one of the most horrible things you've ever heard. There was this whole family that was murdered in Cheshire, Connecticut, like a really wealthy area in Connecticut, and this was recent. And this guy. So it's like a dad and then he had a wife and either two or three daughters, and these people just like came in and killed almost killed him, but they killed the wife and the two kids, and it was just like really unlikely. He was like he's a doctor, like his daughter was like about to go to Dartmouth, like it was a really like whatever affluent family, and I mean it was just like the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And then the documentary, they made a documentary about it on HBO, and it's like, this sounds so demented, but it didn't capture the story well enough, or it didn't have enough heart or something. And I just felt like it was a very kind of like cold portrayal of like, this is what happened. And it's like, that story, that could be anyone's friends and family. Like, it's a home invasion is so bizarre to me.
It's wild.
It's wild. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I have such a hard time articulating it because I'm like, it's weird to be like, I didn't really get what I wanted out of that documentary about this family that got killed.
The Pettit family.
And the dad, like, remarried, which I think is, like, I don't know. I was like, and he already has another baby on the way, which is great. And I hate to be, like, criticizing how someone grieves or, even knowing what he's going through. And I'm sure, is, like, so positive. But I remember just being like, oh, you remarried, huh? Like, I don't know. It's just, like, somehow gives me chills.
You know, something happened in the making of Murder. It's not going to give anything away. But I remember they were talking to some news team and... This woman was saying how she's like, murder's so hot right now.
It's a thing.
Murder. And it's amazing. Like, that, and you're right, you're kind of numb to certain things because you're like, the way we get this fed to us is like, we're almost looking at like movies or
something.
There's something definitely, it's huge.
There's something definitely inside that's getting desensitized to that type of thing.
Sure.
With like binging or listening to on a weekly basis, like Serial or The Jinx or or even these Petit, you know, these things like that, and then even like, unfortunately, with all these like these mass murders
that
happens so often, you kind of turn it off and you just look at it as another, oh, this happened again,
right?
Until it actually, you know, knock on wood, it affects any of us. Hopefully it doesn't.
Right. Sure.
But
we can't.
There's something weird about that.
I know. I totally
that
agree.
That is such a, some of the most successful things that get buzz about them are things that have to do with murders and whether or not people were actually innocent or not.
Right. It also feels like murder themed shows that used to just be something that was either like, on like Investigation Discovery on Lifetime even.
Right.
Like it felt like a thing that was like, it was like, you know, like emotional porn for women.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, I mean, I again, like, I think with Staircase, I think people have realized, like, oh, telling the story of a true crime, like, as a people also, documentaries weren't cool until recently. Yeah, I feel like right. No one loved, like, when you're growing up, you weren't like, oh, gotta see this documentary.
Yeah, right.
And now it's like, oh, documentary is like the best reality you could get.
It was food documentaries for a while. Everybody was like, oh, yes, the food kit. Yes, like, you gotta see Knives Over Forks, or you gotta see this, and like, now we're on murder.
But they're also with like the justice system. So it's almost like they're about
it's
these
really
murders
about the
that are happening,
system.
But it's also about us questioning our own justice system.
To be honest, there's a lot of positivity to it because you're right. It's more about us questioning things now. Food was questioned, and now we're figuring out a lot more. Like we're labeling GMOs.
Yeah, I think
like
ultimately
that.
It is positive in that way.
Yeah. We just want to dig deeper now.
But it's also weird because a murder document. I mean, it's a known thing that documentaries have a bias, and it is weird when the bias is about someone who got killed.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you never really know. I mean, you do sometimes. You do know the truth if whatever the outcome was, you know, and that was documented. But I feel like this case with Stephen Avery, I mean, people are really like, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm making sense. I guess I just feel like it's weird when we're talking about someone who died and then it's like this sensational thing.
Right.
And it's told from a bias. I don't know. It's just like, there is something messed up about it, but ultimately it probably is positive because it gets people talking about things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah,
like, it brings awareness.
Like, it's almost interesting that you bring that up with the documentaries being biased and all that, because somebody could easily come out with like an O.J. Simpson or like a Menendez Brothers
documentary.
They're coming out with a – well, I thought they were coming out with an O.J. documentary. Am I wrong about that?
Maybe.
Wait, what were you saying? They're making a movie about it?
They've made a miniseries.
A miniseries.
FX.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking
FX
of.
FX made it, and it's John Travolta as Shapiro.
Good for him.
And then David Schwimmer is the Kardashian's dad.
Okay.
Oh.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. is OJ.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what's that
but
one?
But I mean, like, is it...
Oh, I thought it was a documentary.
No, it's like... it's basically... what's his name? Who does the American Horror Story?
Cool.
So this is like American Crime Story. Okay. It's like a version of American Horror Story. Yeah.
Oh, that's very.
But what I mean is like they, if somebody did the documentary of it, where it's skewed to have you side with OJ,
right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, like, you could easily get that sensationalized.
That
about
might
it.
Come out. I mean, who knows? Maybe the series will be so popular that Netflix ends up releasing like the true story. Or I don't know. I mean, it is kind of crazy.
It'd be an interesting experiment alone, just to put that out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how people feel.
The Petit family, July 23rd, 2007, the Petit family, William, Jennifer, and their daughters, Haley and Michaela, were the victims of a home invasion turned triple murder at the hands of Stephen Hayes and Joshua Komisarjevsky, career burglars who have never killed before. Career burglars.
We're not talking about the Home Alone
and home invasion.
We're not talking about the Wet Bandits.
Like,
here.
Like that's just like I lock the minute I walk in my front door and I shut my front
always.
Door.
Always.
Like
always.
I don't. I should.
Oh yeah, you have to. And especially in LA, I don't trust this place for a second.
No way. Not a minute.
Even the nice parts, I'm like, nope.
And also, a thing to do too, like what I do is when you get in your car, lock your door and start it.
I love that.
Like always, lock your car. Immediately lock your car and start it, just because like carjackings and things like that happen the minute you get in your car. Everybody checks their phone when they get in their car and stuff like that. And if the doors are locked and it started, in my opinion, A, they can't just open the door and like startle you while you're sitting.
Right.
So the door's already locked, but also if it started, it's easier to just start moving.
That's a hot tip.
This
I
morning
like
I had to think of the locked door because I was up late riding, way late, and at 9 or 8 something this morning, someone's banging on my door, and I just couldn't wake up. I was still like, I can't move. Then my door opened, and they walked in, and it freaked me out.
Oh, my God.
And then I get up, and it's the maintenance guy that my roommate called to fix the sink, but I didn't know. I had that fear of like, oh, my God, I'm freezing. Like, somebody's walking in. I'm so groggy. So that did freak me out. I think, even you got to lock your door. Johnny Wickham had a great story once where he was in his shower. He comes out. He didn't lock his door. He comes out, and he was walking past his hallway. He's in a towel. And he looks into his living room, and there was an old woman standing in his living room. Now, he said he screamed like he's never – the highest pitch has ever come out of his body. And he's just standing there screaming, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't think home invasion. He thought –
ghost.
Because he said it was just an old woman standing, and you no one that's hearing this can see it, but she was just standing like this, just standing. And like he's talking old, and she's standing there, and he's like, he screams like, "What are you doing in here?" And she's like, "What are you doing in my house?" And he's like, "This is my house." And he's like, so it turned, the unfortunate part is, it turned out that he leaves his door unlocked. She thought it was her place. She got lost and ended up in his place. But can you imagine just
walking
past your living room and seeing an old lady?
Oh my God.
That's worse than seeing probably a burglar, because then you're like, your whole world's flipped.
Oh my God.
You know?
I would
like,
probably think it was a ghost.
Right. That's what he said. That's literally what he said. He's like,
and I don't believe in them, but I think that would turn me.
Yeah. And this guy was a quarterback for Ole Miss. So you imagine a guy like him just screaming. It's amazing.
That's frightening. That's
amazing. So yeah, you lock your doors. Lock your doors.
I don't think so. I definitely had one experience where I was like, maybe they exist.
Yeah?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I was in France, but like not in like Paris. I was in like rural France, in the Dordogne, I think is what it's called. I was with my mom. She goes on these trips there like almost every summer with her like French group. She's like a group of ladies who like learn French, and they go over there for immersion. And we were staying in this like bed and breakfast that was in the middle of nowhere. And I remember I walked. Okay, so we all got to like pick our bedrooms, and I went upstairs, and I was like, okay, I want the one on the left. It was really big. And the first I remember. So it was daytime, and I walked in, and I was like, something is like not cool about this room. Like, it was really pretty, and it was like a very like well kept, like just nice house and modern. And I was just like, something is like not, it's not good. And I remember the whole time we were there, I was like, I don't want to hang out in the bedroom. Like which is weird, because we were kind of in the middle of nowhere, and everyone was just kind of like sitting around reading during the day. Like, there wasn't a lot happening. And I just like always was hanging out in my mom's room. I was like, I don't want to be in here. And the first or second night I was there, I was asleep. And I remember in the middle of my sleep thinking like, there's someone like levitating down on top of me. Ugh. like above my body, like right here. And I remember my eyes were shut, and I was like, do not fucking open your eyes. I was like, don't do it. And I refused to open them.
And you didn't open your eyes.
And then I didn't open my eyes. And then the next night I just straight up was like, Mom, I can't sleep in that bedroom. She's like, what are you talking about? Her room had I think the bed in probably both rooms had double beds. And she was like, Jamie, like, no offense, like, don't want to share a double bed with you. Like, that's not a lot of space. Like, whatever. I was like, Mom, I cannot sleep in that room. And so we both slept in the same bed and woke up with like back pain because it's not comfortable to share a double bed. And I just straight up didn't want to stay in there. And then I find out later that the house is built on an old cemetery. I was like, come on.
Of course it was.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you serious right now? So it made me feel a little less crazy. Yeah. I still feel crazy saying it, but.
And you still don't believe in ghosts.
I still don't believe in ghosts, but I hated being in that house. I hated it. And it was so lovely. Like, I had no reason to hate it. It was like a dream vacation, honestly.
That's so weird.
And then it was just like, yeah. But also a living nightmare.
10 things. True TV airs Tuesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Tell us about this show here.
So it's kind of like if BuzzFeed was a TV show. Each week I sort of break down a different themed list. So when is this airing?
This will come out on Monday.
Oh, great. So this week's episode is 10 Things You Never Learned in Sex Ed. And it's just like really cool, kind of weird, crazy facts about sex and sex-related things. And it's really funny and fun. And there's a lot of like man on the street stuff. And then I did some focus groups. And yeah, it's a good time. It's like a very fast-moving, cool show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. True TV tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. 10 things. Do you have any stand-up dates coming up that people can catch you on, or anything else you want to plug, or where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on the internet at the Jamie Lee, THEJAMIELEE. And then I had a stand-up date coming up, but I might have to cancel it, so I don't want to plug it.
Fair enough.
But I'm around, you know.
Right on.
Hit your girl up.
Hit her up.
She's getting out there.
Follow her on the internets and find out where she's at, and then go see her and watch the show, 10 Things on True TV. It's a very funny show.
Thank you.
I've seen an episode, and I may or may not be in one depending on if it got cut.
You are. You're on next week's.
I like it. Even better.
You're on next week's episode.
So here's the deal. You're going to hear a plug this week for the show. And then next week, I'm going to plug the show again because I'm going to be on the show.
Wait, so. I'm 90% sure you are. I hope that I saw the cut that you... I saw a cut where you were in it, so okay. I assume you're still in unless the network was like, we're chopping out the fun.
who's this ugly dude? Get him out of here.
But yeah, you were so funny.
We don't want ratings.
You were funny, even whether it stayed in. I think it did, but whether it stayed in or not. You were very, very funny.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yes.
10 things. With Jamie Lee on True TV. Mike Capes, where can everybody find you at?
I'll be looking like an asshole on a hoverboard around Studio City, just rolling around.
You got one of those?
No.
Oh, thank God. No, I would have made fun of you.
No, Hacks of Life, I'll be coming back around Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And, doing a bunch of other crap.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Cool. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2. You can follow Dan at Osteoferocious. Send us an email, todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. Give us a like on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. We got, aside from this episode, which is a great episode, we got some other great episodes coming up. We got some exciting news coming down the way. Give us a like on iTunes. Give us a good review and all that jazz. And as always, Dr. Pepper is not made out of prune juice.
It's true.
Just flavored.
Just flavored
to the
one
taste
of one it. Of the one of the many 27
one of the many
flavors.
One of the many things your palate's experiencing when you drink it.
10 things. True TV Tuesdays 10:30. Jamie, thank you very much for doing the
show. Oh, thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thank you, everybody.
Of course.
Bye bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.